Grateful we are this evening, Father. You are God who keep all your appointments. Truly, we confess our faith that you are here, Lord, because you have given us that sixth sense by which we can contact you when you come in the scene. And we know that you are God who keeps all of your promises. You said we're two or three are gathered together in your name. Yeah, you are in the midst. And just to feel this great, never-failing presence in the midst of the people this evening, Almighty God, how it lifts our faith into such a bracket that we can come with expectations, that we can expect to receive, dear God, this evening, knowing that there is nothing too hard for you. With God, there is nothing impossible. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will move in such a way that will cause everyone in the building, everyone in the sound of the voice that has a need this evening, regardless of how great that need is, regardless of how long they have that need, dear God, the Lord, you are to anoint the faith that they can break through every veil, they can break through every barrier, Father, and that they can take a hold of your word tonight. Lord, they can nurse from the breast of the great El Shaddai, this all-sufficient one, this bountiful one this evening, that you who said you shall supply our every need according to your riches and glory, that need will be met. May you bless our gathering this evening, Lord. And may you do something special. Lord God, I will meet the needs in the hearts of your children. How we thank you for the ministers and the churches that have come out supporting the efforts of our brother, Lord, here, Father. Lord, desiring to have this meeting for such a long time and knowing that God is not by might or by power, but is by your spirit, Lord. Oh, God, we just commit it into your great mighty hands that you will lead us and direct us in the paths of service. And dear God, everyone will be under the great influence of the Holy Spirit. And that you will do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. May the sick be healed. May the captive be delivered. May every chain be broken this evening. May the word give light and understanding, dear God. The Lord, your children can be placed positionally in this hour. Your church can move in the rhythm of the word, Father. Oh, God, may you grant it, Lord. We commit the service now into your mighty hands. Let the dove lead the eagle, Father, and may you get glory to your great mighty name. We ask it for your honor, for your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God richly bless you. I'm certainly happy to be here in South Carolina again. It's been quite some time, I believe, close to about 5 years. But I always enjoy the worship and the singing here. The liberty that God has given you.
Amen.
Amen. And really happy to come in and see my friend from Uganda, Brother Steve Mibawi. Didn't know I was going to be blessed with this great privilege, but I'm really glad to see him and all of you ministers. I certainly want to express my appreciation for your support and coming out to the meeting tonight to create such a nice atmosphere and something that God could do that would be of benefit to his church, his people. In this part of the country, our precious Brother Blue, who's been so gracious to invite me and to open the pulpit for me to speak. I'm certainly thankful for our Brother Tim Humes, who's in Trinidad, blessing the people over there recently, and I was able to meet him as well. I trust that I could come and bless the people over here. You know, sometimes we come to meetings and we look for great blessings, and sometimes people think of it in the form of an entertaining kind of way. I'm not that kind of preacher. I hope I don't disappoint if I don't entertain too much, but certainly I would like to put you in remembrance of what have already been spoken.
Right.
Our vindicated prophet. Amen.
Yes.
I'd like to open up to Romans chapter 1. This time slips away and it takes me about hour and a half just to kind of get settled in and adjusted, so I trust that you're not too much in a hurry tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Certainly appreciate the people of God tonight. Romans 1, and this great book of Romans plays first in the epistles, though it was not written first. Yet John the Eagle, who was putting the scriptures together, the New Testament, after Paul wrote all his 14 epistles, John, by the inspiration, put this first because that's where it fits. And here, Paul is introducing his great theme on the righteousness of God, not so much telling us that God is righteous, but speaking about the righteousness that God imputes to a man.
Amen.
To make him fit for fellowship.
Amen.
A man that God have given access into his presence again.
Amen.
And we know that Paul's gospel, the prophet says, was prophecy for the end time.
Amen.
And I trust that it will mean that to us tonight.
Amen.
We'd like to read from about verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Four times.
Yes, sir.
He uses that word. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
For in it is the righteousness of God revealed.
Mm-hmm.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And every time he uses that word for, he gives us a further unfolding of what this great righteousness of God is.
Amen.
What it is to us. It's revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, or the word there is hold on or suppress. Who hold on or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God had shown it unto them. They all knew. The prophet said, you sit in your studies there, and you know that this is the truth.
Right.
He said, but because of a meal ticket, you wouldn't come out and be identified with it.
Right.
Yet they would suppress that truth. They would hold it down.
Right.
You read of Billy Graham, and you read of Oral Roberts, and you read of all these great people, Catherine Coleman, and all these people that man want to exalt.
Right.
But yet they suppressed on the truth about William Branham.
Yes, sir.
Which was the fulfillment of the scriptures.
Right.
See? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Amen.
From Virgo to Leo, the whole mystery is written in the heavens.
Right.
The first Bible. Even the eternal God, and even his power,
Amen,
is all laid out there.
Amen.
Amen. So they are without excuse.
Amen.
Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God.
Right.
They dishonored him.
Amen.
See? They rather put out a PhD and the LLD and these things and glorify themselves.
Right.
Exalt their own self. Project their own denomination.
Right.
Promote their own system.
Right.
But they suppress the word.
Amen.
They dishonor God.
Yes, sir.
Neither were thankful, but became vain. See, they weren't always vain. They became vain.
Amen.
In their imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. So from perverting the word, suppressing it, holding it down, now they become perverted in their minds. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies, even their own church bodies, between themselves. So from perverting the word, their minds became perverted. They went into idolatry. And then even God gave them up that they dishonor their own bodies until they become the perverted bodily acts. So Paul is showing us how this thing goes from stage to stage when a man tampers with that word. Look. Who changed the truth of God for a lie? And worshiped and served the creature. See, Satan was the one behind all those things.
Yes, sir.
Trying to bring worship to himself.
Amen.
He's trying to transfer worship and service from God to himself.
Amen.
Because he's the author of the lie. He's the father of the lie. He's the one who changed the truth into a lie in the beginning in heaven.
Amen.
He's the one who changed the truth into a lie in the beginning in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
He's the one who changed the truth into a lie and deceived the early church.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 11, the serpent beguiled Eve, so that these come preaching another gospel.
Amen.
Which is not another, they just pervert the truth.
Amen.
Pervert the gospel.
Amen.
See?
Yes,
and worshipped and served. See, worship and service. Coming to the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They all trust in the denominational idol, the big system of religion that they carved out with their own human intelligence, that they exalt and put up the air. They exalt that above the word. Broken system full of all kind of pollution.
Amen.
Happens every time a man tampers with that word. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men work in that which is unseemly. And catch this now. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. They receive a payment of wages in their own selves for perverting that word. See, the age didn't just become Sodom and Gomorrah all of a sudden. It descends from stage to stage to stage until religion become rotten, politics become rotten, social life become rotten, education become rotten. It must rotten if there's to be a new world system. It must rotten and die. Notice. Which was fitting. And even as they did not like, and this is a very tricky verse now, and this is our message going to be, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not seemly. She says, they are reprobates concerning the faith.
Amen.
They are fine, cultured, refined men in living.
Yep.
In civilization.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they're so cultured. They know all the different orders and the different things.
Oh, yes.
But when coming to the word, the faith restored by a vindicated prophet. These divinely revealed mystery truths containing the seven seals, which was the literally turned they had back.
Yes.
When he restored the faith, they are reprobates concerning that faith. You disturb the organization, you hear them speak on the radio, on the television, they're so intellectual, they place all that message so perfect, like a masterpiece almost. But it's dead. It's giving people a corruptible birth. It's taking people to the worship of the beast and the image of the beast. Look at this now. Being filled with, see? They receive in themselves that recompense for their error, and this is it, being filled with.
Right.
And he names 23 things here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness,
full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, being filled with a recompense of payment, because rejection of the word makes the way for the devil to become incarnate in people. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may have a seat.
Amen.
I want to take for a little title tonight, the results of changing the truth into a lie.
Amen.
This whole world that looks so beautiful. This Satan's Eden, this civilization, this education, this science. That exalts the devil, the tree of knowledge.
Right?
It's just the result of changing the truth into a lie.
Amen.
Because he deceived and he brought the fall when he perverted the word and said, you shall not surely die.
Amen.
And he changed the truth that God said, you shall surely die.
Amen.
Change that truth into a lie.
Amen.
To deceive, to break the unity of God and man.
Amen.
He offered them power. He offered them position. He offered them glory. He offered them honor.
Amen.
That's what Lucifer did in heaven. He wanted a kingdom like Michael.
Amen.
I will be like God.
Amen.
I will be worshipped as God. I will exalt myself above the stars of God.
Amen.
I will sit in the side of the north and upon the congregation.
Amen.
See, he wanted that. And so, that is where the lie started.
Amen.
He told a tale. And it pulled on one third of the stars.
Yeah.
The Bible said the angels that did not keep their first estate.
Yeah.
They left their own habitation.
Yeah.
And their place was no longer found in heaven.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He was able to take them out of the original place where God placed them in.
Right.
Yeah, they were messengers.
Yes,
angels.
Amen.
Angelic beings. But he was able to take them out of that place and they were deformed. By believing the lie, by partaking of that tree of knowledge,
right.
That perversion of God's truth,
yeah.
They were deformed into cancer and leukemia and AIDS and epilepsy and all these things,
right.
Into lust and envy and jealousy,
yeah.
Became demonology in the physical
right.
realm and the spiritual
right.
realm, when they fell from that place,
right.
Became witches and mediums and entertainers and all these different things,
yeah.
Is what they became.
Yeah.
And by fallen angels,
amen.
Who failed to keep their first estate.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about angels up in heaven with wings and so on.
Oh. Oh.
Because I'm not really speaking about that so much.
Oh.
Amen. Paul was an angel.
Yeah.
He had a message.
Yeah.
He brought the standard for the age.
Yeah.
He laid the foundation.
Yeah.
And he said, take heed all your bill upon this.
Yeah.
But he saw men coming, preaching another gospel,
yeah.
Trying to pervert that original word,
yeah.
To move, to break the unity,
yeah.
To take Michael angels away from him.
Yeah.
And he's able to pull them down. Amen. From an apostolic church
right.
Into a Nicolaitan system. In a system of organization under the rulership of man, they fell from that place. And they can no longer produce the truth. Think of it. I want to read something in the church's book for you. Page 126 and 127. When the church allowed herself to move away from the original, like Adam and Eve, death set in. There's no strength in her. She has become a monstrosity. The minute the church moved toward form and ceremony and toward priesthood by organizing the ministers into a group that decided leadership apart from the Holy Spirit and His Word, that very moment death entered and she started to get sick. You ever see a church getting sick?
Come on,
come on. You ever see a church that comes to a place that gets so sick?
Come on.
That, you see death setting in? Oh my, you see it in an individual, you see it in a church, you see it in a nation, you see it in the world.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
At every level you can see it. And as she got sick, she changed to a powerless group of people whose only weapon was argument.
Come on.
You ever see a powerless group of people? Whose only weapon is argument? Just debate and theorizing and discussing the word in an academic manner instead of a practical outworking of the word in their own lives?
Amen.
You ever see that? You ever see a church that had spontaneous prayers getting the program? Sure, it's a fall. It's a deformity.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Glory.
Amen.
And she started to get sick, and as she got sick, she changed her policy for people whose only weapon was argument. She could no produce nothing in the spirit, for her hopes were built on program and not on faith in his word. They sowed program, so they reap program. They sowed program perversion, so they reap perverted children.
Yes.
He says, you tamper with God and you reap exactly what you injected. Man ought to learn that from nature. You know, it's strange in this message today, you see, people don't realize that the prophet wasn't just giving us a little sermon.
Come on.
His ministry was to open the Bible.
Yeah.
And he went way back into heaven,
yeah,
but where sin originated.
Yeah.
He went way back where God wasn't even God.
Yeah.
And he began to unfold that word and bring us right down to the present day.
Yeah.
Beginning to show us way over into the future home,
yeah,
where all perversion is brought to its vanishing point,
yeah,
in the lake of fire,
yeah,
so that there could be a new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
The whole mystery of God,
yes,
made plain.
Yes.
And yet, you see, people still don't realize there's only one way provided by God for everything. When you miss the original way that God has of doing something, when you try to improve on it, when you try to change the course of it, death is setting in. Any person tries to tamper with God is already under the influence of the devil and may not even know it.
Amen.
See? It wasn't serpent seed that broke the word in the beginning.
No,
it was God's children. Sometimes everybody want to exempt, you know, children of God like they can't do nothing wrong. Amen. The only thing that unbelievers can do everything wrong. But when you look in the framework of the message today,
whether
among the pollution and among the confusion, the same things that a prophet was sent to rebuke the organization for is now in the framework of the message. It's no different. The same way you saw Pentecost, the start off so holy and nice, so consecrated, and then they begin to fall, begin to get worldly. It's the same way in the message. The same way those spontaneous prayers when they just came in, excited about the word. Then they become Sunday worshippers now. But ministers today, because of more knowledge and more information, they make good excuses. But you don't make no excuse for the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir,
brother. So he said, you tamper with God and you reap exactly what you injected. Man ought to learn that from nature. He has tampered with nature. Yes. He has injected his own ideas into nature and rearranged the molecules, etc. And now he is reaping a whirlwind. Just look how they have bred the chicken. It is so highly bred, it is a lame machine that lays itself out. It is no good for food and is soft and poor eating. They inject substances into the meat we eat. And because of that, the human body is changing so that women are getting narrow in the hips and broader of shoulder, and they are getting just the opposite. Then what about when they inject substances into the spiritual meat? What will happen to the church body? Because you are what you eat. If a man get away from the original recipe, amen. If a man wants to put all these additives to flavor it nice and make it more palatable, amen, mask it over, sugar coat it, amen. Notice, he says, now if you fool with nature, you get a monstrosity and a backfire. What will happen if you change the truth into a lie.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, to change the truth into a lie, that is just a lie, is the truth mistold. All you have to do is put the cow eating grass in the house instead of eating in the pasture. Yeah. All you have to do is just put the man fishing in the desert when he ought to be in Galilee. Is that right?
Yes,
it's a jigsaw puzzle, he said. This Bible. And the picture that we are looking at. And all the scriptures come together to reveal this expression of one goal and one purpose that God had in the back part of his mind. And if we get a revelation and it don't start in Genesis and go all the way to the book of Revelation, we got the wrong revelation. Regardless how nice it sounds, how stimulated we feel, whatever it is, it will not bring life if it cannot go back in this word and prove that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we are speaking about is the results of changing the truth into a lie. Look at the Catholic Church. You ever wear the weight of that statement? The prophet says the Catholic Church is part of the original Pentecostal Church at one time? Oh, sure. And some people think Message Church can't get nowhere. You look in the Bible. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthian Church, that was not a denomination. That was Message Believers. They already gotten the personality cults and had divisions and strife, saying there's no resurrection, getting drunk at the communion table, going to court for the brother and sister. You look at the Galatian church, a church that was in heavenly places, established by the apostle, the prophet messenger of the age. He said the word will be evidently set forth before you, Christ and him crucified. Is that right? And they go, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you. They fell from an apostolic church, the revival with signs and wonders, into a church under the human leadership. It fell into a place of dead works, not understanding what age they were in. Their minds was confused about what covenant they should be in, what type of relationship that was to be expressed between Christ and the church in that hour. They were going back to a master-servant relationship when he came to bring a father and son. In Galatia, it wasn't drinking and smoking and committing adultery. It was not understanding the dispensation, not understanding the age, not understanding the change, the relationship, the covenant, the place they were brought into. And he told them, does the working of miracles come by the hearing of faith or the works of the law? Where has it gone? They had it at one time. He says, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made you free. Of whom come this persuasion? He said, does man want the glory in your flesh? Put the mark on you to say you belong to the, put the brand. You are one of theirs. Oh, my. What a time. What will happen if you change the truth into a lie? Look at the Hebrew church. They were stopping short of the promise. They came out of but couldn't come into. And then Paul showed them how fearful it is to depart from the living God. To neglect so great a salvation. The taste of this good word and then fall away. To come up and be sanctified by this truth. Live right for a season. And then turn around and trample it and go back to some system. To fail to go completely beyond the camp. Think of it. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is all about. To show them how much better the great promises that was brought to them when Elijah revealed the Son of Man at the end of the New Testament. At the end of the Old Testament, rather. And the original faith, Paul laid the foundation.
Yes, sir.
He was caught in the third heaven. He met the pillar of fire. He brought that word. He didn't shun up to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. He brought it to that age. Think of it. And then these very people, they didn't understand what they had. They didn't search it out completely to see that there were two paths of redemption. Out of and into. He said, labor to enter into rest. There's a promise left us of entering in. Be careful you don't come shorty. Settle down for some little thing of the Red Sea.
Huh? Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Yes. The temple was dancing in the Red Sea, was dancing on the calf. Uh-huh. Yes, they just love to dance. All they had on the dancing shoes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. See? But brother, here Paul was showing them, Jude also, that the same God who brought them out destroyed them.
Right.
That this wasn't Egyptians now.
No,
he had taken them out of the system. They were already dead.
Yes.
These are the message people journeying to the promise under the pillar of fire in the midst of a vindicated prophet. Isn't that denomination dying out? They're already dead a long time. That thing is rotting. It's people who come out and not coming in is who die now. That's a serious thing. See, that's knowing the hour.
Amen.
What causes it?
Come on.
Fooling around with the word.
Amen.
Changing the truth into a lie.
Yes, sir.
Mistelling the truth. Mislocating, misplacing, misinterpreting.
Amen.
Or suppressing it, holding it down.
Yes, sir.
Right. So you can promote your own self instead of the word.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Dangerous ground. How the church needs discernment of spirit. And the message of discernment of spirit, the Bible says, we are commanded to discern spirit.
Yes,
see a man's motive, see his objective. What is he trying to do with his gift? Is he trying to make a name for himself? Is he trying to project a denomination? What is he trying to do? Is he trying to cut down everybody and exalt himself? See? The only answer that God has for a situation like that, he says, the answer is, you will breed an antichrist godless system of religion that is so perverted it will not look like or produce what the original did. What perverting the truth and the lie will do? It will breed an antichrist godless system of religion that is so perverted it will not look like or produce what the original did. You see, Cain was a product of false union. Cain was a product of the lie that the serpent told Eve.
Yes, sir.
He had a worship of the wrong kind.
That's right.
He had an approach, but it was the wrong approach. He couldn't get no revelation. He had no right relationship with God. He was full of temper.
Come on.
The whole thing, it was competition.
Yes.
When he saw Abel vindicated, his confidence fell. God said, why is the confidence fallen?
Mm.
If you do like your brother, I'll honor you too.
Amen.
Not because fire coming is all dead, it don't mean to say you left out.
Huh?
I have to identify with my word.
Amen.
He is catching something.
Amen.
He has got a hold of something.
Amen.
That reflects me.
Yes.
Abel is catching that mystery in the back part of God's mind where the lamb was going to be slain.
Amen.
That shepherd prophet, mystery redemption, and shepherd and sheep. He was catching that. But look at Cain, a product of the lie. And what happened? It fought against the truth.
Amen.
See? So here we are seeing when the truth is changed into a lie, the prophet is showing us what is going to happen. Look, the first, the serpent perverted the word. Is that right?
Yes,
in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Then he succeeded in perverting the woman with that perverted word.
Amen.
Then the woman brought forth a perverted life, which was Cain.
Amen.
Church life.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Not God's life.
Uh-uh.
Not a life that can reflect God's mystery.
Amen.
Life that have form and ritual and ceremony.
Right. Amen. Go ahead.
Then by that perverted life, the whole earth became perverted.
That's right.
Because Cain went out refusing correction.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
He became willfully disobedient.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
He was unwilling to come back to the truth.
Come on!
Right.
His place could no longer be found back there.
Right.
Now he went out into the earth. And he began to pervert the earth by bringing in civilization.
Yes.
He began to build cities.
Right.
He changed it from an agricultural civilization to an industrial civilization. Finally, his seed changed it into an information civilization. Amen. When they could build them pyramids with atomic power and everything, but they could put things up in the stars, and every time it comes into that information civilization, that's the time the destruction comes. God had to turn the earth back to its pre-industrial state. And the Bible said Noah came out, he was a husbandman, a farmer. And he started over with an agriculture civilization. Then Nimrod came up and began to build cities. And he began to change the world and the way they live and the way they work and the way they do things. And he changed it to an industrial civilization. And then finally it comes to an information civilization when they build the Tower of Babel. And the strength was the language that bound them together. And then God came and bring the judgment right where the strength was. He confounded the language and scattered them into all parts of the earth. But man wouldn't stop there. For all these years, these 4,000 years, look at them. God enlarged the world. See, Nimrod was fighting wars, taking resources, capturing markets, capturing nations in strategic places, and brought it all to a Babylon. Building the Euphrates River, where he exalted himself as a woman's seed. Amen. And he was like God in the earth. Amen. Had them worshiping him. From the serpent, an antichrist spirit, the king, a false prophet, to Nimrod the beast. Amen. Ruling over this Babylon that the whole earth had to come subject to. But when God enlarged it, what happened? They went out again. And in 1675, the industrial age came on. The invention of the steam engine. Amen. And they began to break up the world again. And but in the last 75 or 100 years, they come from horse and buggy all the way to an astronaut. And now it's a great revolution changing the world, bringing it from an industrial civilization to an information age again. Hallelujah. And now they say it's a global village. Because the same people with the same objective have worked by the same methods to bring it back. And from smoke signals to them Indians and them in the mountains. But all the way to satellite signals today. Look how the thing evolved. Man working by the tree of knowledge. Amen. But while they were doing those things, look at God. The same God in Luther. Amen. Catching a mystery. That seal opened and he caught it. The just shall live by faith. Amen. God moving him out to face the challenge. The anointing of the man catching the first fold of the third seal. Then Wesley can catch the second fold. Because Luther only catch justification. Wesley catch sanctification. The Pentecost will catch restoration of the gifts. All three was the manage. Hallelujah. The stalk, the tassel, and the shock. But then come the astronaut age, amen. The flying eagle coming. The grain bringing back the world in its fullness. Hallelujah. Glory, the church come back in the power. Oh my, this prophet being led by God in the Bible. The dove leading the eagle, amen. Glory. Coming through the secret passages of the word. But he began to walk with healing. Began to move into discernment. Begin to go into the spoken word. Begin to go into the opening of the word. Hallelujah. Begin to open up things to show us how we will put on immortality again in this hour. Amen. Feel it up in the message. Oh, man. And when you think in this hour that spiritual scientists who understand the age, who knows the achievement for the hour, who knows what the plan of God for this age is? What is to take place between the going of the Gentile prophet and the coming of the two Jewish prophets? What was to take place in the Bible? Oh my, you see them at a loss. You see man coming back again, injecting their own ideas,
building their own things. Amen. Every man after the imagination of his own mind, injecting substances into the meat. You see the effects of it on the church body. You see the perversion coming in. You see perverted children being born in churches that now they have to get programs for them. Just like the denomination, they get the programs for their children. They have to let too much of pleasure come through the church filter. Otherwise, we will lose the young people. I thought we had the word to take care of it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My, you sure love the word? Because the way you rejoice, you look like you can take 2 hours easy here now. Oh, my. Now look at Paul here. Paul is looking at something in this book of Romans. He had to look back, and he had seen that Elijah coming at the end of the Old Testament. A man in the spirit and power of Elijah. A man who an angel was connected to his birth. Amen. A dove confirmed his message. And the word came to him when he was in the water. Hallelujah! And Paul is looking back at this man, a rugged man, who preached in woodsman terminologies. Glory! A man who was to wind up the Old Testament and introduce the Messiah. Glory! And as Paul looked back at him, he sees this man, the lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes, coming to this man. And this man introducing the lamb, the logos, the word made flesh, the capstone, the headstone coming to this man. Amen! Hallelujah! Alpha and Omega, begin the end, the first and the last. And Paul to the word coming to the prophet. And that word lived out a mystery. And that word achieved something that was promised in the Garden of Eden. That the woman would get a seed. And that seed was going to bruise the serpent's head. The veil was going to be rent in twain. The cherubims was going to be removed. And now the word that was a mystery, the word that was sealed up. Amen. That man couldn't get to it. He had a veil upon it. That veil was to be taken off of the word. Hallelujah! That word is going to be unveiled and parted by a new and living way. That is to say, the veil to his flesh. We entain into the holiest. Amen. Where the voice of the blood speaketh better things. Oh, my, where a man stands justified before God. Where a man can live without condemnation. Where a man can grow up into the full manifestation of the sons of God. Where a man who is elected. The man blesses the man that God imputes into. Hallelujah! And Paul looking back and seeing this great mystery unfolding this day, this great achievement, how that Son of Man message loosed the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah! Glory! That quickening power was moving in the earth, quickening the seed. He was one who was across the chasm, dead in sin and trespasses, in that denominational womb. Amen. But then one day, he had to be birthed, amen, from that system. But God shook him forth, amen. Brought him by the word for the age that Christ could be revealing him, that he can preach that mystery of Christ in him. Hallelujah! And here he was walking in that world, and this book of Romans, what he had come into, what had made real to him. Hallelujah! Where he knew that God of peace was going to bruise Satan under our feet. Oh my! And he was looking for these things, and he was speaking. And here he's seen how that system, those people rejected the greatest light that shone since creation. Amen. Moses had light. Amen. Isaiah had light. Amen. Different ones had, Jeremiah had light. Amen. Amen. They brought light to the people by means of the scriptures being made revealed and being preached to them. But this one is the true light. Amen. Amen. Not true as in contrast with false, but partial realization as in contrast with perfect realization. This was the substance. This was the word himself, taking the word itself and revealing himself in itself. Hallelujah! This was the mystery of God being revealed, Christ, revealing himself in his own word. Showing he was in the law, he was in the Psalms, he was in the prophets. Showing he was all through the Bible. He was in the feast. He was the Lord coming to the volume of the book, he said. And Paul, look at these Jewish denominations, Sadducees and Pharisees and Herodians, how they couldn't recognize Elijah.
They never understood. But it's like he went to Dallas, he went to Bowman, he went to New York. Hallelujah! He went to Phoenix. He was standing there doing great mighty works. Glory! But they failed to recognize what was happening. And as Paul looked back and saw how that age was prophesied to be blind, he said, well, did Isaiah spoke of you, having eyes that you can't see and ears that you can't hear? So here was the greatest light, because John was a bright and shining light. And Jesus said, I have greater witness than John. And John said, he is the true light that lighteth every man. Do you understand what we saw in this day? Elijah revealed the Son of Man. Hallelujah. I'm typing for you. I hope you understand my speech. Amen. Glory. And what happened? That those religious system finally did what? They gave the strength and the power to the Roman system that they might crucify the world. Is that right? Glory. And all them Gentile nations who were looking for Messiah, they were not looking for Messiah, they were heathens. And the Jews who had the covenants, who had the law, who had the prophets, who had the promise. When he came and was scripturally identified, thoroughly identified and vindicated, if I don't do the work, don't believe me. But if I do the work, then believe that I am he. He said, who do you say this is? And President Solomon is here. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Hallelujah. Super sign. Amen. It was God. The mighty God unveiled before us. Standing in plain view. But the minds were darkened and alienated from the life of God. Because this age was prophesied to be blind also. Let's read something in Romans 3. You're doing real fine. Sometimes when you put scattered out like that, you think, well, maybe I should be stopping in a certain place, but I'm looking at the clock too, and then the way you're responding, something is saying you're getting it. I hope you're really getting it. I believe you are, amen. You come expecting to receive. Chapter 3, verse 9. In chapter 1, Paul was showing the Gentiles were guilty. In chapter 2, he's showing the Jews were guilty. Now he's beginning his conclusion in chapter 3 here, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Jews better than Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. Amen. He said before proving in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he went to prove that. Now he's bringing his conclusion. Yes, after he laid out his whole argument. Right. He's bringing this climax and he's driving his capstone down. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Because them Jews, Baptists claiming the right, Methodists claiming the right, Sadducees claiming the right, Pharisees were claiming, that was just some false prophet. We are the real church. We are going to go. We are the real bride. See? They all had their ideas just like today. But here's the prophet and messenger of the age. Amen. Who met that pillar of fire? See, who has to bring that mystery? He's looking back at what happened in his generation. And he's seen where they failed. And now he's showing how the whole world was guilty. Now watch. There's none that understand it. There's none that seek it after God. Those are some strong words. Them Jewish scholars are great people. Learned men, had PhD, LLD, all kinds of different things. Had big systems, had many branches all over the land. Amen. They all gone out of the way. They are together becoming profitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jumping to verse 19. Then he goes on from verse 13 to 18 there, showing the different how the mouth, the feet, the way of peace, all these things, their ways. Now verse 19. Now we know that whatever things the Lord saith,
It said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. See? No man but will be able to come with some argument, but bring every argument to naught, every mouth will be stopped. No matter how learned a man is, amen. See, you think that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. Hallelujah. In verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here he lifts up, he brings the whole world guilty. Why? Because they choose as the only one they like. And they rejected the message for the age. And then the Gentile world, they're not the Lord, they're not the promise, they don't have no promise. They have no forerunner promise to them who's going to come to point this Messiah out to them. So they missed it. It was unrecognized. And Paul is bringing it here to a conclusion now, and he's showing now, look how the whole world became guilty. Well, the same today. All these heathen religions, your Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, billions in the world. But they were looking at Malachi 4:5. They were looking at Revelation 10:7. Yet God went into Durban, South Africa, and challenged the witch doctors. Went into Bombay, challenged the Jains and the Hindus and the Muslims. Amen. Went into Germany, challenged the witch doctors. All in great high seats of demon power. He went into then, but across the land, back and forth from east or west in the United States, went to Mexico, into Latin America. Amen. Amen. Glory, stand up, went up into Scandinavia, among them Vikings, and away up there. Way up in Finland, stand in there, raise the dead, everything else. Amen. But a total vindication up in the sky, 27 miles high, 30 miles wide, where there's not even moisture. Let the camera photograph it. But I come in Houston, Texas, let it photograph it. Let learned men with all their instruments try to disprove it and have to give account that it's nothing but the truth. Then all the heathen religions, they don't even believe in Jesus to begin with. They're already gone. And then all the Christians, which is Catholics and Protestants, make up Christendom. And the Catholic is the whore, and Protestant is the harlot. So the whole of Christendom was lost to, because he was coming for a virgin, not a whore. They all had organized religion. And he comes, hybrid religion, Jezebel religion. Why am I against organized religion? Why we are not a denomination? Amen. There's only one way provided by God for everything. Showing them, yet they will not turn away from the organized religion. He has placed it in the Bible. God was vindicated. It was not the plan of God. See? Yet they wanted it. He showed it was Cain religion from back there. In vain do they worship God. Yet they held on to it. And they rejected the word. Because this was the age. Not Luther age. Not Wesley age. This was the age that was promised that he would be cast out of the church. And Paul saw it. Way back in that first age, where while men slept, Jesus said, and the evil sower came in and began to plant that seed. As the serpent beguiled Eve, so that this can preach another doctrine. And while that seed was being planted, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And this thing will bring the falling away. And the falling away there means the apostasy. Now apostasy is not just deception now. Because the Corinthian church has been deceived. As the serpent beguiled Eve. The Galatian church was bewitched. And he was calling them back. The bride was looking at the Miss USA church. Dancing to rock and roll music. And while she would get focused on that, instead of having her ears attentive to the voice of the messenger, she was coming under another influence, and she was drifting away from the straight path, and the messenger, get back in line! Aren't you seeing it now in this hour? Half of the things they're trying to pattern after is coming from some denomination. Looking back at a system that is cursed and judged for an example? When a wave sheaf have been waved over us. Make you wonder sometimes if people know what they're looking for. Make you wonder if they understand anything about the scriptural identification of this hour. That God is identified by his own characteristics. Putting in remembrance.
Go ahead.
Trying to say what he already said. You know what? So Paul, looking at conclusion, the same way in this age, the whole world had become guilty before God. And he said, I indict this generation. The whole world, in that first age, the whole world became guilty. Romans 1 to 3, but Romans 4, blessed is the man that God don't impute sin to. By election, God called Abraham. And while he was yet uncircumcised, he had that faith inside of him. And God, the God of glory came down and said, come out of hell, my people, and call him out of Babylon. And Abraham began to walk in Genesis 12 by faith. Genesis 15, sanctification. Genesis 17, the new birth. You did part of God's name. He put the H in Abraham and put the H in Sarah. And H in the Hebrew represents God. And it can only be uttered by an outbreathing, a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He breathed that H in, giving him part of his own name. Hallelujah. Then Abraham and Sarah saw Elohim, God, in a man like a prophet that could discern the heart. Discern the thoughts. Then he opened up the mysteries, the voice of the sign. And those mysteries had an effect upon Abraham. Oh my, it began to put him into faith to be changed. It began to give faith in him to be transformed. Hallelujah. And he walked into a new body. Glory. And so Paul, from Romans 4 to Romans 8, he shows us in Romans 4 how by election in Romans 5, therefore being justified, and by faith we have peace. Amen. Why? Because it wasn't for Abraham alone. Abraham believed God. It was imputed for righteousness. But it shall be imputed unto us also if we believe on him who raised up Jesus from the dead. He raised him out of that organization. He raised up the body in the Sunday. A mighty angel came down. Amen. Shook the cold, stiff body back to life. He said, what a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is. He raised him up out of history. He proved he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything except the corporal body. Because it wasn't the flesh profited nothing, it was the spirit that giveth life. It was the Father that dwelleth in him that did the works. And that same one came back. Morphe, put on human skin, walk the face of the earth, amen. And Abraham said, Lord, by revelation, the presence of God is recognized to him. He had something to examine it. Except you have the token to examine it, it'll pass right through you, amen. But Abraham can recognize the word in the present tense. Glory. Look here. So Paul is showing us the whole world brought guilty. Yeah. And then what happened? Then Romans 4, election. Romans 5, justification. Romans 6, after this form of doctrine was delivered unto us, we were freed from sin. Right. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Yeah. Not Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine. Yeah. It came from above. Yeah. Seven angels from eternity, amen. Brought back the original apostolic doctrine. Amen. Amen. Glory. Bring it all the way back. Restore all things. Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. Amen. Things is mysteries. See, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. We have an unction from the Holy One that teaches all things. Amen. The Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. Amen. Natural man can discern the things of the Spirit. Amen. Things is mysteries, truths.
Amen.
And so, Romans 7, a mystery of prophecy for the last days. The old husband dead to come to you and the new husband. Romans 8, let no more condemnation.
No more.
A man who's crossed back the chasm. A man under the blood of Jesus Christ. A man led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! A man who's coming into the redemption of the body. He said, we groan earnestly. Waiting for what? The redemption of the body. So from Romans 1 to Romans 8 is a mystery. From 1963, when they brought the whole world guilty, every organization, this entire generation, brought them guilty. But out of there, the same God, shall he destroy the righteous with the wicked? By election. God came down, Abraham, you. Come out of her, my people. As many as I love. Not as many as love me, as many as I love. Aren't you glad tonight that your name was called? Aren't you glad tonight to know you are part of the mystery? Aren't you glad tonight to know when the prophet was preaching, when them seals were breaking, your name was being revealed to come forth in this hour? Just like he called Abraham out of Babylon, he called you out of Babylon. Just like he walked into a new body, you are coming to walking in the steps of the same faith of our father Abraham. Hallelujah! Glory! And here we see all these years how that bride who was elected, called out, justified, and then here she is under the new nature now, under the mystery of prophecy, the name in the book. Glory! That's where the name is. Not saying Ormond Neville or Lee Vale, but by preaching the mystery. And you recognize you are part of that word. And you cannot recognize somebody else's part. You have to recognize your own part. And your part is not Brother Branham's part. Behold, I send you Elijah, and he is personal pronoun, singular, masculine, one man, a Gentile prophet. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he, personal pronoun, singular, masculine, one man like Eliezer, one man like John, a forerunner, one man going to get a bride. But we are part of that bride, amen. Hallelujah. There's three prophets between that six and seven trumpets. One to the Gentiles before the rapture, Revelation 10:7. Two to the Jews after the rapture, Revelation 11 verse 3. But the Gentile prophet left in 1965. The two Jewish prophets are yet to come. But Abraham read the scriptures and never went beyond the seventh verse. Like Jesus, he stopped and closed the book. Hallelujah! But that seventh seal was a threefold mystery. The Lord himself, the coming of the Lord, shall descend from heaven with a shout. He identified that being fulfilled. Amen. What is the attraction? This day the scripture is fulfilled. Revelation 10. A shout. What is a message? To gather the bride together. He said the trump is the call to the wedding supper. Here we have the message. And we have not yet gone to the wedding supper. Here we have the messenger who brought the message. And he had a ministry of 1946 to 1965. But something has been unfolding from 1965 to 1998. Hallelujah. When he left, we had the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We still have it in tape and book form. But he saw a man was going to try to breed his white horse to a black mare. Hallelujah. They can't take the white horse and make it a mule, but they can take the seed from the white horse and mix it with the black mare and come up with a mule. He saw them. You know why? It's the age of hybridization. The only way death can come, somebody has to tamper with the word. You have to change that truth into a lie. No, what's something else? This generation rejected truth. They cast him on the outside.
Oh, yes.
There wasn't no part of him.
Oh.
It was the falling away, the apostasy. Revelation 3:20, 2 Thessalonians 2, that is what Paul was talking about. Just like the angels took sides with Lucifer against Michael, they actually took sides with Lucifer against Jesus in this day. The apostasy is not just deception, It's the abandonment of the faith.
Amen.
It's a rebellion against God. Like Cain, he received correction, but he refused it. Well, the next time he became willfully disobedient. He crossed the line between mercy and judgment because his soul had sinned. You don't believe with your body. You don't believe with the spirit. You believe with the soul. The soul that sinned shall surely die. That's why they're all dead today, but alive in the body. Still refined and cultured in the spirit. Polished up with education and science and civilization. But in that soul is a rotten, dead, stinking vulture on the side of you. See? Now watch something now. Before we can come into this new civilization, before the millennium can come, before the new world order can come, before the faith civilization can return, two worlds cannot exist at the same time. This one has to die. But death is not just an accident. Death is a penalty for a crime committed against God. God said, the day you eat, perverted word, the day you let the truth be changed into a lie and partake of it, that's what he's saying. Because that's what brought death. That's what the eating was. You shall surely die. The soul that sinneth or disbelieve it, that reject vindicated truth, shall surely die. Like him. Because the land was marked and separated from the presence of God. Paul is showing, he said, a man don't stay the same way. The world can't stay the same way. When they suppress truth, hold on to it, pervert truth, it goes to a perverted mind. Watch insanity begin to come in. Watch people do things contrary to reasonings. Watch them do things to their body and get them the kind of immorals. Watch them have an appetite for it and try to get all of it that they can. He says, and after that, he says, watch them go into idolatry. They were changing the image of God, the glory of God, into what? Beast and images. And they begin to worship beasts and images when they reject vindicated truth. And the wrath of God being revealed in heaven when he turned that cloud and showed with the supreme judge, with eyes like a flame of fire, voice of many waters. The wrath of God was being revealed from heaven to all these denominational men and any other man that will try to tamper with that word. See? This is what he's talking about. And he said, now watch what's going to happen. Did the prophet prophesy after blindness? Did the seeing age come and buy eyesight because the age was prophesied to be blind? The light came and shined upon something light never shine on. Remember he interpreted the writing on the rock? That represented the Bible. But there was part of that Bible, Revelation 10, that no light never shine on. He said, I read all man's writings. They talk about church ages, they talk about seals, they talk about trumpets and vials, but no man ever spoke about them seven thunders. Amen. The hidden secrets of redemption, hidden truth that was sealed in the word. Unless it utters his voices, no man could tie that word together. They might have a truth and a truth there, but watch it go into organization. But if they can tie that thing together, it'll bring them all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It'll bring them all the way back to immortality. It'll bring them back to a perfect faith. It'll bring them back to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Hallelujah! So what happened? He opened the white rock. He said, well, what good is light if we don't have eyes to see? Why do we turn on the light? There's a man who can turn on the light. To reveal something.
But we need eyes to see it.
Amen.
He was the seer. He looked and saw the mystery. I know what it is, he said. Oh, my! He saw it. He began to speak, but we still have to get our eyes anointed. Amen. Did you realize that Jews are blinded? Jews still blinded? Gentiles blinded? The only people seeing is those who are called out and taken up in that mystery. Who eyes have become anointed. No wonder they are cleansed from all sin because they can walk in the light. They see where the light is going. That the word is a lamp unto their feet. They are walking into a perfect faith. They are walking into a, right into the holiest by a new and living way. They are coming back into oneness with God. They are coming to be placed positionally with all things under their feet. They are walking step by step in that word. He's not coming to church for them. The message is not about little conventions for them. There's a man to rise up on some little program? No, sir. But they have been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. They understand, amen. But they were taught back in the mind of God. Bypass the word expressed in flesh, an attribute, but quickening power has come to quicken them, raise them up in heavenly places to find their position between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. To live out the mystery, to know what God has been doing from 1966 to 1998. To know it changed from a one-man script after Adam was Eve a bride. After the Son of Man, the second Adam, was the Alpha bride. After the Son of Man revealed in the last days, is Omega bride. He saw her coming from around the world, marching onward, Christian soldiers. One like Rebecca that was called. Amen. But she's riding on the beast that is taken to the city, unseen bridegroom. One like Rahab, who have the token applied and on display in the hour of judgment when the destroying angel Joshua is coming. Amen. When the iniquity of the Amorites is full. One like Sarah, who judge him faithful. Amen. To conceive seed and receive dunamis. She receives strength, dunamis. To conceive seed, to bring forth this kind of seed. Hallelujah! Oh my! Think of it. Think in them places. Well, like Mary, a mighty angel come from heaven with a message that God Himself is to be made manifest in the Virgin. Glory! Amen. Amen. One like Esther, chosen after Vashti rejected him, seven voices of the king on the seventh day. Hallelujah! A virgin bride was called and came into union with Ahasuerus, where the king and the queen meets. Esther, the last woman in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Only two women in the Bible. Books are written after Ruth and Esther. Amen. When Naomi, six trumpets rushed them back in the homeland to get them ready, amen, to receive the Messiah, to receive redemption. Ruth was coming in. But when Ezra and Nehemiah, the Jews going back into the homeland at the end of the seventh decade. Hallelujah! There were 7 years, 7 decades down in Babylon, and the church had been called to Babylon at the end of the seventh decade to go back into the land of the fathers. Oh, just like the Jews, yes, seven trumpets, there were seven seals. Amen, they are going back to rebuild the temple and wait for Messiah. And it was in that time. Amen. Between Nehemiah and Job is the resurrection. The greatest vision ever. Job, he saw what no man saw. Abraham saw Elohim. Daniel saw the angel of the Lord. The Hebrew boy saw the fourth man. But Job saw the Redeemer standing on the earth. Hallelujah! The thing that give a man hope after death. And between the six trumpets and the seventh trumpet, the Jews going back in the homeland, and the resurrection, at the last trumpet, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. Esther, a mischief, a bride. See, something is happening down through these years. In a people, in an elected people. A bride is pregnated with the truth.
why she can't get involved in politics. She can't be pressured into things that men's influence. She don't believe in human government. She's looking for no sensation that the word do not give. Amen. Glory.
Oh, let me stack my texts and clothes. Amen. Now, you have to listen to the pastors, eh? If any pastor say preach on, you all going to get a pastor here somewhere. So, that do me just good. Amen. Just let me strike this. I want to strike this because this is where it's important. And I think, you see, praise God. Amen. Thank you. I like all the encouragement I could get. Amen. Now, what's something here? So, Paul is saying, the whole world is brought guilty, and the same way they were brought guilty in this day. And he's showing that no man stays the same place. Because for it to bring a new world system, this world system has to die and rot. But it cannot die until it reject truth. So truth had to be proven to be truth and vindicated to be truth and presented to them. And God had to vindicate the truth, prove it as the truth, and present to them, what shall you do with this Jesus called Christ? And when truth was presented, and see, sometimes we speak this on an age level. And everybody rejoices because they can identify with the truth right away. The prophet led to the organization. But when you bring it down sometimes on another level, maybe to a church level. Hey, if truth is presented to a church and a church will walk in the same thing happened to the age, happened to the church. If it's presented to an individual, he don't walk in it, it's the same way. If God judge one man for unbelief, he has to judge a family for unbelief. He has to judge a church for unbelief. He has to judge a nation for unbelief. He has to judge the world for unbelief. The thing may get greater in magnitude, but the principle is the same. Amen. That's why a man's the type of age. That's why the prophet Hezekiah is the type of the age. You take Uzziah to type the age. You take the rich young ruler to type the age. And show the rich young ruler, rich religious, rich and increasing goods. So they vindicate the word of the hour. And refuse to follow it. And this is the age, rich and increasing goods, religious to the core. Men that Jesus loved. He loved them. Finest men walk in shoe leather. But they failed to walk in the word. He said that everyone crossed the line like the 10 spies come up to Kadesh Barnea. Eat to taste the good word. In Chicago, they opened a problem. We believe that. We'll come and get baptized. He said, did they come? They never came. Most of them still alive today, but dead in the soul. Going along prospering in the organizations, still have influence, still making a lot of money. Still can have television programs. You see, it makes you wonder today. You see what's happening in the nation, right here in this nation. You see how rotten it is. Not down the cities, on the throne, the head of the thing. Rotten all the way to the core. You see the kind of lies. The kind of deceit. You see the kind of filth. Sorcery and witchcraft and everything else. And then sometimes you look at people and say, but didn't they believe the prophet? How could he say in 1957 this nation crossed the line? Is that not perfect no more? And I know many church people in the message living in this country get offended when a minister would say that. And it shows that the national veil is still upon their heart while the word is being read. See what's happening.
Yes, sir.
They've been blinded from what has happened. But he said, look at Elijah walk under the White House. Just better listen. He said, I won my way to the throne. See? He said, what God showed me back there in the vision 1933, in the time of the Depression. He said, I see an atomic bomb coming. But the whole was debris when that bomb exploded. And he spoke it. Then we see families I'm taking the church to the courthouse today to preach indictment. Amen. Look at Paul. Paul is saying here, he said, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Just be striked up and Christianized. Did not like, it means to put to the test for the purpose of approving and finding whether the person scrutinized and examined meets the specification prescribed by those doing the examination. In other words, he's saying they took Jesus, they took the word, the Jews, the systems, and they examined him, and they scrutinized him, and he did not meet their denominational approval. See, he didn't meet the theological specifications. He didn't come according to the denominational taste. Baptists had a Baptist taste, and the Methodists had a Methodist taste, and the Pentecostals had a Pentecostal taste. And they judged him by the church and the church standards. And if he didn't do it the way their denomination set it down, and in the church manual, they can't accept it. In other words, Paul is saying that they put God on trial and they found him disapproved. So they decided he is not worthy of worship and service. So Satan, who blinded them, subtly transferred the worship and service to himself by exalting their denominational knowledge above the revealed word. And today he is the most worshipped person today in all them denominations, because the same as Christ cast Michael, Lucifer rather, out of heaven, then they cast him out of their kingdom. They kick him out! They kick him out of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem back there they crucified him, represented this age here. Yeah, in Laodicea, they're the most religious people. Crucified, blaspheme him, the most precious one, the anointed word of the hour. And so, he said, because they put God on trial and judged him and come up with a verdict of guilty and that he's not worthy of service and worship, so, he said, God turn around now and judge them too. And God judged them and gave them a reprobate mind, because the mind that was given them to discharge the functions of a mind, because a mind is supposed to be able to distinguish right from wrong. But they had a mind that couldn't distinguish right from wrong. So they failed to use the mind for the purpose it was used for. It was given them to be used for. So he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now the prophet came back in this day. I don't know if you ever noticed that in the message. And he started, he preached, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? He shows man putting God on trial. Then he preached, trial. Man putting God on trial. Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbelief, Mr. Impatience, who influenced the mind of the jury to come with a verdict that he is guilty. See? And then the prophet came back around and preached indictment. God now putting the generation on trial. Who tried him and found him guilty, he put them on trial. He put them on trial. So it was not some little dramatic something. It was God in the office of a prophet had to bring truth to this generation, vindicate it so that they can reject it. Because the penalty for that is death. And then when they died, after death is rotting, corruption, decay. And birth pain, you get after rot, and decay and deteriorate. Is it a religion is rotten, politics is rotten, social life is rotten, morals is rotten. The whole thing is rotten to the core. And it must do that in order to give birth to a new world. So from 1963 to this time, while the world has been coming through the stages, rotten, decaying, because they turned them through this generation. Dead in the soul! And they begin to rot. Why? You see, God will judge a man without warning. First, there was a prophet is a sign of what? Oncoming judgment. Then investigation angels begin to appear. Attending to the ministry of that prophet. See? Then a warning going forth. Warning the people. Then that investigation come down. It means to separate. Shall the judge of all the earth destroy the righteous and the wicked? No. Somebody put Noah in the ark first. Somebody put Israel in the blood. Somebody seal an angel, seal up the elect first before the slaughter angels could come. Before the judgment could come. God begin to separate. And then after the investigation comes the indictment. Then after the indictment comes a trial. But when the charges are laid, then the case must be tried to bring a verdict. He said, I will be his attorney today. And before, if I am to make these charges stand, I must prove that this generation is guilty of a criminal offense, punishable by death. He said, I'm going to take the word today and prove that the same spirit that was upon the people in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom, in the days of Jesus, is upon this generation. And that they have done the same things, and the same God who came in those days, as was there Noah, as was there Sodom, the same God in the first coming is the same one that was promised to be here again to do the same thing and prove he's the same one. And they have done the same things to him. Exactly as prophesied in the Bible, Revelation 3:20. And when that happened, then they died and they began to rot. And it went from what? Then you tell us what? You took a pilot? Catch this. A man had the word to judge. We all, even this message tonight.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If this is light and this is the truth, we receive it. If it's error, we cast it aside. We don't hear the word and remain the same.
Right. No. Never.
We don't stand neutral.
Amen.
And then, when that word was presented, see, you watching days of Noah, way back in the Garden of Eden, God and Adam, divine love, agape love, God and man together, in union, oneness, fellowship. Then God gave the man a wife, a mate, fill you along. Yet, a wife now. Then from agape love to fill you along, then it went to adultery.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Then from adultery, it went to sexual love.
Come on, man.
See, in the Greek there's agape love, filial love, and eros love. Eros is erotic love. Sexual love, filthiness of the flesh. Then in the days of Noah, man was married and given in marriage.
Right.
See?
Right.
Then from then all the, then it went from there to polygamy. Then it went to incest. Harmony with his father's wife, it went to his daughters. Then it went from incest, it went to sodomy.
Yeah.
And then God had to burn the thing out of fire. And from Genesis 2, which was a type, Adam and Eve, in union like a husband and wife, with a type of Jesus and the Alpha Bride in the days before the fall. Then the Nicolaitans came in and began to conquer the lady, a disciple beguile Eve. And what did we have? We had the church that was espoused to Christ as a virgin becoming a fallen woman. And a seed of discrepancy sown inside her womb. Then from there, it unfolds all the way down from filth to filth until the last day, the age of woman preaches. The age of man over man. And the prophets of them angels going to the Sodom, and them men, them sodomites, trying to pervert them to their religious acts. Man over man, trying to pervert them to their religious acts. Woman over woman, filthiness.
still.
The only thing left. And while all that filth is there, while the whole world's guilty, caught up in that thing, look at the little lily begin to press out of the muck and that filth. From Genesis 4, the elect being to be called out, all the way to Genesis 8, to the new body, where Abraham come out of Babylon, all the way into a new body. The same way the church in this hour, but it's coming all the way back to a new body. And the whole thing around us is the church and rotting and corrupting. Is nothing strange happening? It must be there. It must come to that condition. Because if that don't rot away, then how could we look at our life to see a transformation? And if we are becoming the Word, and this body is put on immortality, then that thing must rot to a place where the fowls of the end, the beasts of the field, even feed upon it.